Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is March 30, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about U.S. cash in circulation sees biggest increase since the Y2K bug panic, Fed data indicates. Singapore crypto exchange eyes U.S. expansion after registering with FinCEN. Microsoft files patent application for crypto mining system powered by human activity. Opera's Android web browser adds access to crypto domains for ATM users. Telegram hopes it can still sell tokens to non-US investors after court ruling. Riot Blockchain says coronavirus outbreak might hurt crypto mining farms. Crypto derivatives platform gets nod from London Stock Exchange's software tester. German startup pitches decentralized ID for prescription pickup during COVID-19. Crypto lender Celsius taps Chainlink's price oracles for interest rate decentralization. Binance cut leveraged tokens because users don't read warning notices. Bear market over? Charts on Bitcoin and ASX 200 suggest otherwise. Investors in Polychain Capital's crypto hedge fund saw 1,332% gains if they stomached the dips. Bitcoin diverges from falling equities with $500 price rise. Now let's get started. U.S. cash in circulation sees biggest increase since the Y2K bug panic, Fed data indicates. U.S. currency in circulation has experienced its largest percentage increase in over 20 years, according to data from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. From March 11 to March 18, dollar banknotes in circulation shot up from around $1.809 trillion to $1.843 trillion, an increase of almost 2%, the data shows. The increase was noted Sunday by economist John Paul Koning. The data is the first strong signal, beyond scattered anecdotes, that U.S. citizens are now withdrawing more cash than usual from banks and ATMs amid concerns over the effects of the coronavirus pandemic. Also read, while some hoard dollar bills, others envision Jeremy Cash's quick demise. The surge is the biggest since late 1999, when fear of a global digital systems crash caused by a rumored glitch in numerical dates, the so-called Y2K bug, sparked a frenzy of withdrawals and panic buying. Based on the weekly change, the week ending December 22, 1999, saw a 3.78% rise, while the week ending March 18, 2020, saw an increase of 1.92%. Currency in circulation includes paper currency and coin held both by the public and in the vaults of depository institutions. The increase comes as the global outbreak of the deadly coronavirus, COVID-19, continues to worsen in many nations, and with the health authorities advising social distancing measures and minimal contact with surfaces that might be contaminated with the virus. Also read, Riot Blockchain says coronavirus outbreak might hurt crypto mining farms. The pandemic has brought new attention to the idea that physical money represents the dirtiest form of currency exchange between two parties, driving the narrative further for digital value transfer, blockchain-based or otherwise. Singapore crypto exchange eyes U.S. expansion after registering with FinCEN. A crypto derivatives platform that has primarily focused servicing Asia is looking to set up shop in the U.S. Singapore-based BitGet said Friday it had registered with the U.S. Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, as a money services business ahead of plans for a full-scale launch in the country. Established in 2018, BitGet provides crypto trading services for retail and institutional investors. It started out as a spot exchange before pivoting into derivatives last summer, where it now averages around $1 billion a day in trading volume, according to a company spokesperson. See also, FinCEN, social media companies that tokenize must follow the law. Registering as an MSB is the first step to BitGet operating as a legitimate exchange, anywhere in the U.S., the spokesperson said. The company still needs state-level licensing to conduct most operations. According to its MSB registration documents, BitGet's U.S. office is in Denver, Colorado. BitGet has maintained a low profile in the West, but is quite popular in the Chinese market, which makes up nearly two-thirds of its 800,000-strong client base, according to the spokesperson. The exchange has now begun offering English-language services. The company has also set up offices in South Korea and Japan, and last month received a license exemption from the Monetary Authority of Singapore (MAS) to operate as a virtual currency service provider, without further regulatory approval, until the end of August. See also, Binance CEO says crypto exchange has applied for a Singapore license. BitGet is working on becoming a fully licensed entity in Singapore. The exchange said it also has plans to apply for a permit to operate in the European Union. Microsoft files patent application for crypto mining system powered by human activity. Microsoft has proposed a system that can mine cryptocurrencies using data collected from humans as they exercise or read an advertisement. In a patent application filed with the World Intellectual Property Organization, WIPO, Thursday, the American computer giant said sensors could detect activity associated with specific tasks such as time spent viewing ads and convert it into computer-readable data to solve computational problems, in much the same way as a conventional proof-of-work system. Instead of massive computation work required by some conventional cryptocurrency systems, data generated based on the body activity of the user can be a proof of work, and therefore, a user can solve the computationally difficult problem unconsciously, the patent application reads. The system could use physical exertion to mine cryptocurrencies, sensors could detect when the body is doing a physical task, such as a faster pulse, and use that data to unlock blocks. Scanners connected to the head could even use brainwaves, signals sent out during mental exertion, to mine for cryptocurrencies. See also, Microsoft unveils platform for minting enterprise-ready crypto tokens. Microsoft says the system could be used to incentivize users to perform certain tasks. Scanners can detect activity from certain kinds of tasks, such as mental concentration when reading an advert, that can verify blocks and reward the user with cryptocurrencies. In late 2017, a Netherlands-based company explored whether humans produced enough energy to mine cryptocurrencies. Their test results found body heat from 37 people, collected over a couple of hours, produced enough energy for a computer to mine continuously for just over 8 days. Although Microsoft designed the system, it is unclear whether the company is moving forward on actually creating it. It is also not clear whether the protocol would run off a fork of an existing protocol, or based on a whole new blockchain entirely. Opera's Android web browser adds access to crypto domains for ATM users. Opera's Android browser, the blockchain-ready web surfing app, added support on Monday for unstoppable domains decentralized, crypto websites. The partnership grants unstoppable domains 200,000 registered, crypto domains an immediate inroad into Opera's 80 million-strong user base. That means they can access Unstoppable's Ethereum smart contract registered, Interplanetary File System Stored (IPFS) websites without leaving the browser address bar. It makes them a lot more useful, Unstoppable Domains founder Brad Kam said of the crypto domains. Previously, web users needed either Unstoppable's eponymous browser or a Google Chrome extension to access such sites. From a technical standpoint, the integration marks an intriguing milestone for Opera, which started browsing, comms, nets, orgs and others over 26 years ago. Standard browsers get sites' IP addresses from domain name system, DNS, servers, the internet's near universal equivalent of a phone book. But there's no DNS entry for crypto, according to Unstoppable. Cam explained that Opera's integrated browser uses a fundamentally different process to access crypto sites. That's because crypto domains scatter their web content across IPFS distributed host network and store the content locator's IPFS hashes in Ethereum smart contracts. When I view a website, the browser is looking up the Ethereum blockchain itself in order to find my website content, instead of looking it up on the DNS servers, Cam said in an email to CoinDesk. He compared decentralized IPFS storage to Amazon Web Services Global Server Network, but said IPFS reliance on distributed computers instead of a single corporate entity's servers make crypto websites censorship resistant. You have lots of copies, so there's no one person or one group to ask to take it down, he said. Even if one or multiple people decide to take it down, someone else will still have it. Opera said in a press release it partnered with IPFS Developer Protocol Labs for the integration. The browser provider said Monday it has also expanded Opera for Android's cryptocurrency purchasing feature to the entire European Union, Australia, New Zealand, Mexico, and Switzerland. Telegram hopes it can still sell tokens to non-US investors after court ruling. Telegram has asked a court to clarify what exactly it must do to comply with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) order banning the issuance of its Gram tokens. Last week, U.S. District Court Judge Kevin Castell in New York issued a preliminary injunction in the case, prohibiting the issuance and distribution of the tokens for the messaging app Kompany's blockchain TON. The judge decided the SEC has shown a substantial likelihood of success in proving Telegram's private placement of tokens was an unregistered securities sale. However, Telegram is still waiting for a more detailed order prescribing what exactly it can and cannot do as it prepares to launch its blockchain and investors await their paid-for-Gram tokens. In a letter to Judge Castell on Friday, the Kompany's lawyer, Alexander Drilevsky, asked the court to clarify if the ban applies to the non-U.S. investors in TON. According to the court documents, about a quarter, $424.5 million, of the $1.7 billion Telegram raised in two rounds in February and March 2018 came from the U.S. investors. The rest, Telegram argues, are not subject to U.S. securities laws. See also, Telegram ruling closes another door to legally compliant token sales. The company said it's willing to take steps to fence off American investors while still fulfilling its obligations for others. Should the court require, defendants will implement safeguards to protect against non-U.S. private placement purchasers reselling grams to U.S. purchasers in the future, the letter reads. Such measures, it adds, could include a condition that non-U.S. investors may can only receive their grams if they are not going to resell them in the U.S., and that Telegram could configure the TON digital wallet to preclude U.S.-based addresses. U.S. securities law only covers transactions in securities listed on domestic exchanges and domestic transactions in other securities, the company argues, so Telegram still has irrevocable liability for its investors in other nations. Telegram has already notified the court it's going to appeal the preliminary injunction. At the same time, the TON Community Foundation, a group uniting some of the TON investors and developers outside of Telegram, announced it has been discussing a launch of TON without Telegram's participation. Riot Blockchain says coronavirus outbreak might hurt crypto mining farms. Riot Blockchain is worried COVID-19 may seriously disrupt its Bitcoin (BTC) mining operations. The Nasdaq-listed rig builder revealed its concerns in its annual 10-K report with the Securities and Exchange Commission, filed Wednesday. Such reports always include a general risk section detailing worst-case business scenarios. This year, Riot added two pandemic-specific subsections to discuss COVID-19. Riot Blockchain is getting thrashed by the response to COVID-19, the general risk section shows. Its workers are being quarantined and going into self-isolation while its supply chain is seizing up under border restrictions and factory closures, according to the filing. It also has the unwanted label of being a non-essential business. According to the 10K, Riot has not been classified as an essential business in any of the jurisdictions that have decided that issue to date. That potentially cuts off access to Riot's offices and mining rigs. If we are unable to effectively service our miners, our ability to mine Bitcoin will be adversely affected as miners go offline, Riot wrote. See also, Microsoft files patent application for crypto mining system powered by human activity. Riot's concerns echo issues Chinese mining farms faced nearly 2 months ago. In early February, Panda Miner Chief Operating Officer Abe Yang told CoinDesk his company had difficulty operating some of its farms due to quarantine controls in certain provinces because they had limited staff repairing machines and running the hardware. At present, Riot's Oklahoma City operation features 4,000 Bitmain S17 Pro Antminers purchased over December 2019 for $6.35 million total, according to two press releases issued at the time. Those rigs replaced Riot's older fleet of about 8,000 S9 models, now offline, the 10K shows. The catastrophic business ramifications of COVID-19 are hardly unique to Riot Blockchain. Nearly every business is facing an existential threat that only 4 months ago would have sounded absurd. It's an open question where all this will lead. Riot admits that the pandemic's sweeping nature makes it next to impossible to predict the long-term impact. One thing is certain, though. If not resolved quickly, the impact of the novel coronavirus, COVID-19, global pandemic could have a material adverse effect on our business. Crypto derivatives platform gets nod from London Stock Exchange's software tester. A crypto derivatives exchange has received a clean bill of health from the same software tester that vets the trading and settlement systems used by the London Stock Exchange (LSE). ZUBR, which only opened for trading in early March, said its trading software had been successfully stress-tested by ExactPro. The exchange's high-frequency trading feature, risk management protocols and trading engine met requirements set by the software tester. The testing included a few milestones, such as the analysis of documentation and requirements, the development of testing scenarios, multiple rounds of testing, risk assessment and recommendations, said Alexei Zarev, ExactPro co-founder and director, in a statement. ZUBR is a crypto derivatives exchange aimed at professional traders using algorithmic and high-frequency trading strategies. The platform offers perpetual contracts futures with no expiry dates for Bitcoin, BTC, and Ether, ETH, with up to 20 times leverage. Based in Gibraltar, the company is looking to become regulated in Europe, although a spokesperson declined to specify where. See also, blockchain arbitration firm Proof of Trust plans London Stock Exchange listing. Established in 2009, ExactPro has tested the LSE's trading technology since 2010. It was acquired by the Exchange Group in 2015, but was subject to a management buyout 3 years later for undisclosed terms. LSEG remains a substantial client of ExactPro and we continue to provide services following a multi-year master services agreement, a spokesperson told CoinDesk. Speaking about the tests it performed for ZUBR, ExactPro concluded the exchange met the requirements of a high-frequency trading venue, with trade executing in microseconds even in high-demand simulations. Its risk management protocols meant the exchange could, subject to regulation, offer higher leverage options. ExactPro recently expressed some skepticism about whether blockchain and distributed ledger technology, DLT, could replace existing financial infrastructure. Co-founder and co-CEO Iosif Itkin told CoinDesk that the technology was still very much at the prototype stage. See also, retail investors aren't interested in crypto derivatives, says eToro executive. ZUBR was the first cryptocurrency exchange assessed by ExactPro. The company said it would continue to collaborate with ZUBR to ensure any new technical features are fully tested. German startup pitches decentralized ID for prescription pickup during COVID-19. Berlin-based blockchain startup Sverity has developed a decentralized identity prototype that would help people get the medicines they need while maintaining proper social distance. We see a big opportunity when it comes to social distancing to get decentralized ID out the door, said Sverity CEO Karsten Stocker. Humans interact with smartphones, but governments and doctors' offices interact with legacy infrastructure, so that means we need to bridge the gap. The eResept prototype relies on self-sovereign identity, SSI, a way of managing the various attributes that comprise digital identity in a decentralized manner. Moving things away from password-based centralized architectures allows the real owners of sensitive personal data to control and share it without compromising their privacy. Germany passed legislation last summer to help digitize pharmacies. Like many complex engineering transformations that would normally take months or years to complete, the coronavirus pandemic is kickstarting solutions for the coming weeks. Sverity was one of some 40,000 participants that applied to take part in the WIR vs. Virus virtual hackathon organized by the German government. That number was whittled down to 2,000 actual participants, but the coronavirus-focused event still counts as the biggest hackathon in Germany's history, according to German Chancellery Minister Helga Braun. See also, World Health Organization teams with IBM, Oracle on blockchain-based coronavirus data hub. Stocker said the eResept project was inspired by his mother, who didn't want to go to an overcrowded doctor's office just to renew a pharmaceutical prescription. A lack of faith in remote identity verification is the reason patients are required to renew prescriptions in person, he said. The Sverity prototype requires patients to carry their digital fingerprints in wallets that can be accessed by doctors. Once these Know Your Customer, KYC, credentials are matched with their records, an electronic prescription can be issued. We are using smartphone wallets, cloud agent infrastructure, in combination with the Ethereum blockchain. But it could also be combined with other SSI solutions such as Hyperledger Indy, said Stocker. The next digital step would be connecting the patient's wallet to an online pharmacy. Given the risks of contagion and the need to reduce traffic on critical infrastructure, urgent social distancing is the spur to push forward e-medicine, Sanker said. There is an opportunity to do a quick fix using existing decentralized identity technology, he said. Crypto lender Celsius taps Chainlink's price oracles for interest rate decentralization. Lending platform Celsius Network has teamed with an oracle provider to make the price feeds it uses to calculate crypto asset interest rates less centralized. Announced Monday, Celsius has subscribed to Chainlink, which connects smart contracts with real-world data, as a middle pathway to decentralization, said Chainlink CEO Sari Nazarov in a telephone interview with CoinDesk. Celsius offers above-market interest rate returns for cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin and Ether, and has some $600 million in assets under management. Under the new arrangement, Chainlink will also place a portion of its Bitcoin, BTC, and Ether, ETH, crypto holdings under Celsius Treasury Management Service. Chainlink launched its live network in June 2019, having raised $32 million in a token sale in 2017. Chainlink provides pricing data for cryptocurrency applications through a series of smart contracts meshing on and off-chain data into one price feed. Decentralized finance DeFi applications have become a prime applicant for Chainlink in the last few months given the more robust nature of oracles over other pricing data solutions, the firm said. Polkadot became the first non-Ethereum blockchain to integrate Chainlink just a month ago. Most technical or financial projects often see decentralization as an all-or-nothing effort, according to Nazarov. Chainlink adds one building block that projects can use to decentralize, in what he described as a hybrid cloud blockchain application. We're allowing Celsius to make data inputs decentralized, and what this can do is it can create a certain amount of guarantees we can show on chain, Nazarov said. Read more, Chainlink's Sergey Nazarov on what DeFi can learn from early exchange hacks. Describing the service, he explained, here's the data that you were supposed to compute, here's the number you would have computed if your computations were working correctly, and then here's the payment output you sent me. Chainlink joins other crypto-first entities such as the Litecoin Foundation in depositing funds for interest accrual. Nazarov said the deposits were significant portions of the treasury. Integrating Chainlink's industry-leading decentralized Oracle technology is the key step in the continued decentralization of Celsius and helps solidify our mission to bring revolutionary financial services to millions around the world, said Celsius CEO Alex Mashinsky in a statement. The partnership follows hectic weeks in the cryptocurrency lending markets, which saw millions in collateral called in to solidify outstanding loans. Mashinsky called March 12, or Black Thursday, the best day ever for the firm after completing more loans than ever, while seeing interest rates skyrocket for some cryptocurrencies. Binance cut leveraged tokens because users don't read warning notices. The CEO of Binance says the exchange had no choice but to delist FTX leveraged tokens because users didn't understand how to trade them and failed to read the warning notices. In a tweet thread Saturday, Changpeng CZ Zhao said too many users had suffered significant devaluations and the exchange had decided to remove all FTX leveraged tokens in order to safeguard users, just over 2 months after first listing the tokens. The main reason for delisting is we find many users don't understand them. Even with pop-ups warning users each time, people still don't read it, Zhao said. Given they are some of the most actively traded token, it is bad for business to delist them. Not an easy choice. But, protecting users comes first. FTX is a crypto derivatives exchange that operates out of Antigua and Barbuda. It first introduced its leveraged tokens soon after launching in May 2019. Based on Ethereum's ERC-20 standard, each token tracks an underlying position, either bullish or bearish, in a perpetual contract at 3x leverage. They are designed to be easily tradable and can be purchased like a token on the spot market. They protect against liquidations by adjusting to price moves automatically. See also, Binance-backed FTX exchange seeks $1 billion valuation in equity token sale. Although useful during sustained price trends, they can quickly devalue in some types of high market volatility. A common misconception is that leveraged tokens have exposure to volatility, or gamma, reads FTX's token description. Leveraged tokens do well if markets move up a lot and then up a lot more, and poorly if markets move up a lot and then back down a lot, both of which are high volatility. Because positions didn't liquidate, some Binance users continued to hold their leveraged tokens even as volatility shot up following the market sell-off earlier this month, which led to sustained devaluations. While these tokens rarely cause you to be liquidated, they will devalue over time as markets fluctuate up and down. They are not meant for long-term holding. If you have an unrealized loss, holding for a comeback is unlikely to work, Zhao said. Binance first listed FTX's Bitcoin and Ether leveraged tokens in January. It came just over a month after the exchange acquired a minority stake in FTX Exchange, a strategic move to leverage FTX's expertise in building out its product offering. In response to the decision, FTX said in an update, leveraged tokens are complicated products, and Binance doesn't want to manage the user education and customer support for them. An FTX spokesperson told CoinDesk the company hadn't had any user education issues with leveraged tokens. We have plenty of documentation and are always willing to work with users to understand the products. CEO Sam Bankman-Fried said on Telegram that FTX had added Tether USDT trading pairs so you can deposit, trade, leveraged tokens on FTX same as on Binance. See also, FTX exchange CEO invests in rival trading platform. A Binance spokesperson said the exchange had no plans to re-list leveraged tokens anytime soon. Bear market over? Charts on Bitcoin and ASX 200 suggest otherwise. Some financial publications around the world are touting the shortest bear run in history for U.S. equities, as if the dark days of the coronavirus sell-off are behind us. Markets in the U.S. are beginning to show signs of life thanks to the Federal Reserve's quantitative easing plus the recently enacted $2 trillion U.S. stimulus package. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 23% and the S&P 500 index has gained around 20% from their respective March 23 bottoms. Yet, a conclusion to the wide-reaching COVID-19 pandemic is far from over. Australia's equity benchmark ASX 200 index is off by 31% and Japan's Nikkei 225 has lost 21% from their February highs as the COVID-19 outbreak went from bad to worse over a month ago. Government measures in Australia got a whole lot more stringent overnight. The country's prime minister announced gatherings were to be restricted even further to a maximum of 2 people in order to slow the spread of COVID-19 from within its borders. The unprecedented measure were agreed to by the newly created National Cabinet, comprised of the premiers of all the states and territories plus the prime minister and convened to coordinate a battle plan against the virus. So far, the ASX has been slow to react. The index is up by about 2.3% on the day. However, pressure toward the downside is apparent. Gains may require significant positive day-on-day returns over the course of this week if they are to signal confidence in the country's latest measures. Jahan Chu, co-founder and managing partner at Hong Kong-based blockchain investment and trading firm Kinetic, said that despite the turmoil, the corona moment would be the moment we learned to be truly digital. While all market signs point to a long and lean winter, the silver lining is that remote working and especially socializing is clearly the catalyst to mainstream the digital experience, Chu said. From church services to dance parties, group meditation to infant playgroups, the digital experience is normalizing for all sectors of society. This experimental phase, driven by a survival instinct, is fundamentally ushering the masses to the digital-first future, Chu added. In commodities, oil is trading at lows not seen since February 2002. Gold is down 0.5% from March 27's close and is showing signs of extreme volatility amid the uncertainty, currently changing hands for around $1,616 per troy ounce. Bitcoin prices resistance near $6,900 is presenting a significant hurdle for the world's bellwether cryptocurrency. The cryptocurrency suffered continual losses last week, with prices down $1,000 from that local peak. Bitcoin is currently changing hands for around $5,900. Further, two long-term moving averages, MAs, the 200-day and 100-day, are beginning to converge once more. That indicates the potential for a deeper drawdown from Feb 13's high of around $10,500, reflecting sentiment on current global market conditions. The last time these two MAs crossed was back in November 2019, when prices fell nearly a quarter to a local bottom of around $6,425 from $8,500. Elsewhere in crypto, XRP is down 3.6% over the weekend. Ether, ETH, is currently trading 4.1% lower than March 27's close of around $131. Global financial sentiment will need to continue to improve significantly in the coming week if there is any real chance of staving off a deeper recession. In the past week, almost all markets have suffered daily lower highs, taken by technical traders to be a negative signal. With coronavirus-related updates changing daily at a rapid pace, a conclusion to the uncertainty and fear in markets may be far from over. Investors in Polychain Capital's crypto hedge fund saw 1,332% gains if they stomached the dips. An investor document obtained by CoinDesk charts the dramatic ups and downs of the first 4 years of Polychain Capital's cryptocurrency hedge fund, offering an exhaustive look at the performance of one of the sector's top investment firms. Yearly returns jumped from a 2.7% loss in 2016 to a 2,278.8% gain in 2017, according to the document, which accounted for returns up to November of last year. They then nosedived for a 60.4% loss in 2018, and surged to a 56.1% gain in 2019. The roller coaster changes are emblematic of the wild swings familiar to crypto investors small and large. At the same time, the hedge fund's performance altogether flies in the face of common wisdom and regular markets. Investors who kept money over the hedge fund's lifetime would have netted 1,332.3%, according to the document, raising the possibility that a longer outlook may offset incremental risks. According to the Bloomberg All Hedge Fund Index, non-cryptocurrency hedge funds overall returned losses of 5.9% in 2018 and respective gains of 4.0%, 9.2% and 9.0% in 2016, 2017 and 2019. As a benchmark, leading hedge funds not belonging to the cryptocurrency space gained 15% to 35% over their lifetimes. Polychain Capital declined to comment. Whether returns are realized depends on when Polychain Capital's investors, which include distinguished venture capital firms Andreessen Horowitz, Founders Fund, Sequoia Capital and Union Square Ventures, deposit and withdraw their funds. Polychain Capital's hedge fund lockup period is at least 6 months, a time horizon that yields wildly conflicting snapshots due to monthly volatility and spells danger for short-term investors who run on lower liquidity. In a tabulation of 39 months of activity beginning in September 2016, the hedge fund's return curve climbed higher for 1 of 4 months in 2016, 10 of 12 months in 2017, 3 of 12 months in 2018 and 6 of 11 months in 2019. While 20 months saw gains, 19 months saw downturns. On average, returns dropped 3.3% on a monthly basis, according to the document. Negatively moving months were clustered in the last quarter of every year, and appeared in the first two quarters of 2018 and 2019. The best six-month stretch gained 529.5% from January to June 2017, compared to 47.6% lost in the worst six-month run from July to December 2018, by CoinDesk's calculations. Token deals. Matt Perona, Polychain Capital's COO and CFO, is the former chief financial officer of Criterion Capital, a shuttered equity hedge fund that owned deprecated social media site Weibo. Ex-Tiger Legatus hedge fund COO Joe Egan is Polychain Capital's president. Olaf Carlson Wee, Polychain Capital's chief investment officer, founded the cryptocurrency investment firm in 2016. The hedge fund is Polychain Capital's first fund and invests in parallel with a venture capital arm. Polychain Capital started raising $200 million for a second venture fund this year. March 2019 filings with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) reported $595.1 million in aggregate Polychain Capital holdings, including $175 million raised for the first venture fund in 2018. According to an accompanying investor deck, more than 20 cryptocurrency assets average $20 million positions each out of the $550 million in assets the hedge fund says it controlled in the fourth quarter last year. Half of the crypto assets are liquid coins trading on cryptocurrency exchanges, the deck says, and half are illiquid coins that were sold through digital token sales structured under a simple agreement for future tokens, SAFT. SAFT is an investment contract that stipulates that a digital token is a security and freezes redemption until the token technology, ordinarily a blockchain network or a computing protocol, becomes usable. Though viewed as a regulatory concession by investors and token issuers, SAFT is not officially recognized as a valid legal framework by the SEC, the government agency that authorizes offerings of securities. Bitcoin diverges from falling equities with $500 price rise. Bitcoin, BTC, is looking buoyant Monday despite renewed risk aversion in traditional markets. The top cryptocurrency by market value picked up bids near $5,850 during the Asian trading hours and rose around $500 to $6,344 at 7:14 Coordinated Universal Time. At press time, the global average price, as calculated by CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index, was at $6,290, up 7% on the day. Bitcoin found takers even though stocks in Asia dipped alongside losses in S&P 500 futures, possibly over renewed fears of a prolonged coronavirus-led lockdown across the globe. President Donald Trump abruptly abandoned his talk of life returning to normal in some parts of the U.S. by Easter and instead extended social distancing rules through April. That forced markets to price in the possibility of a deeper economic slowdown in the world's largest economy. See also, U.S. cash in circulation sees biggest increase since the Y2K bug panic. Fed Reserve data indicates European equity markets are also trading in the red at press time, with the UK's FTSE 100 and France's CAC index reporting 0.5% declines. Bitcoin decoupling? Bitcoin putting in a positive performance as stocks suffer may bring cheer to investors and analysts who believe the cryptocurrency is a safe haven asset like gold. However, it's still too early to say the cryptocurrency has now decoupled from equities. After all, the 90-day correlation between Bitcoin's price and the S&P 500 rose to 0.52 earlier this month, the highest level on record, according to Arcane Research. Further, with the virus outbreak showing no signs of slowing down, investors may continue to hold cash, US dollar. Analysts at Goldman Sachs believe the economic fallout in the West has only just begun. Meanwhile, central banks and governments across the globe look to have run out of ammo, having already fired their big bazookas over the last couple of weeks. As a result, another liquidity crisis, similar to the one seen a few weeks ago, cannot be ruled out. In that case, Bitcoin could again feel the pull of gravity alongside the sell-off in stocks. Some analysts, however, think Bitcoin could soon decouple from the traditional markets as macro traders and institutions have already cashed out their cryptocurrency stashes. We think the correlation to traditional markets will ease now that most cross-asset class investors have sold out, Richard Galvin, CEO of Digital Assets Capital Management, tweeted Monday. Derivatives markets data does show institutions have likely exited the market. Open interest in Bitcoin futures listed across the globe has declined by nearly 50% from highs above $5 billion seen in mid-February. Galvin added that the highly stimulatory and potentially inflationary central bank and sovereign response could only bode well for Bitcoin. Meanwhile, Jahan Chu, co-founder and managing partner at Kinetic Capital, said the Federal Reserve's all-you-can-eat quantitative easing plan should prevent future flight from Bitcoin as we saw earlier this month. See also, investors in Polychain Capital's crypto hedge fund saw 1,332% gains if they stomached the dips. The Fed announced an unlimited asset purchase plan last Monday to contain the economic fallout from the virus outbreak. Meanwhile, the U.S. Congress approved a $2 trillion fiscal stimulus plan on Friday that was promptly signed into law by President Trump. Barring any further cataclysmic shocks to the economy, I expect BTC will rally faster and harder than public markets, Chu told CoinDesk. The immediate bias remains bearish despite the price bounce from $5,850 to $6,350, as a rising channel breakdown confirmed on Friday is still valid, as seen below. A convincing move above the horizontal resistance line of $6,342 is needed to invalidate the breakdown and open the doors for a retest of resistance at $7,000. Bitcoin failed to close above the former support turned resistance of $6,425 last week. The bull's failure at the key hurdle, coupled with consecutive weekly candles with long upper shadows pointing to sell on rise mentality, indicates the path of least resistance is to the downside. Bitcoin would likely slide back toward $5,000 if the buyers fail to defend the Asian session low of $5,850. The outlook as per the weekly chart would turn bullish if and when prices find acceptance above $7,000. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.